As we hope to hear about the peace of God, we are going to read and turn to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25. We started reading verse 6, and we read through 26, verse 12. Isaiah 25, verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. And Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. And the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy of the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, peace of mind. Who doesn't want that? Who does say, well, I have everything under control in my mind? In our bustling society, with all those notifications and choices and lots of information, there's all kinds of things you can worry about. There's always something that's begging our attention. And there's all kinds of ways we can go about seeking peace of mind. I came across a story of a man who wrote 191 detective stories. His name is George Simenon, and he was seeking for peace of mind. He found a perfectly peaceful spot to build himself a house in Lausanne, Switzerland. beautiful panorama there, facing the towering Mont Blanc and the glorious, majestic Alps, the Italian Alps, and then and that the beautiful, tranquil lake of Geneva there. And he said, I've tried to build a house with a kind of perfection in mind. And he filled his house with whatever he desired. He even had special windows to keep out the noise. Top security. It was in the 80s. He had 21 phones in his house, 7 bathrooms, 7 refrigerators, a huge kitchen, 4 to 5 paintings in a room and more. And when done, he said this. I think that's something we should pay attention to. I have only one ambition left in life, to be completely at peace with myself. I doubt if I shall ever manage it. I don't think it's possible for anyone. I do not know any man, however successful, who is completely happy. This is the voice of a prophet. But whose voice is he speaking? The voice of the prophet, maybe of the world, right? Of an unbeliever. We are going to listen to another prophet who says something different. It's the voice of God. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says the opposite. This is possible. Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So let's consider this text tonight together under the theme peace of mind. First of all, full peace, because it speaks in our text about perfect peace, and then a focused mind, it speaks about a mind that is stayed on God and trusts, and then a faithful God, because it's to be stayed on who God is, stayed on thee. So we have the one voice. The world is saying to us, no peace. And some of us might say, well, yeah, that's what I'm experiencing. But our text says tonight, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It speaks about perfect peace. And maybe you say, well, I'm skeptic. I've tried all kinds of things to get peace. Just a peace of mind. But here it says, thou wilt keep him in literally shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. True, perfect peace. Now, interestingly, this wasn't written in a time that was very peaceful. Isaiah's day was not peaceful. We've seen something of it in the reading of the chapter. Judgments were going all over the house of Israel, and it was just before the Assyrian armies would come and invade and make war, bring into captivity the people of God, and later Judah would follow to Babylon. You would say that's not a time of peace, necessarily. It was a time in which people were seeking for peace, though. Peace of mind. Worldly security in their possessions, in their idols, in their pride, in their deceitful desires. We saw something of that in the chapter 2 about God was speaking about, I will bring down the pride, down, down, down. The pride, the things that, the worldly things in which we seek our security. Well, Israel was seeking their security in their country, in God is with us. But at the same time, serving their idols. And God said, I sent you to Assyria and to Babylon for that. But God promises peace nevertheless. Are you craving tonight peace? First 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah brings a message to people who are truly craving for peace of mind. The message can be summarized with this verse, Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That's what God is saying. Come back to me. Return to me. You'll find rest. You'll find quietness. You will find confidence. You will find strength. And that verse ends with these simple words. And ye would not. That was the state of Isaiah's day. And ye would not. Is there someone who has heard it? Come. Come to the Lord, and you will have peace for your soul. Return, repent, receive strength, and ye would not. Is that something that you recognize? What were they doing? They were looking away from God again. Well, Babylon is coming. Well, let's go to Egypt. They can help us. How often don't we do the same? God, the last one, the God who says, I'm the God of peace, peace be still, and know that I am God. And then we have these consciences that are telling, come to the Lord. And we feel the guilt of those because we go away from the Lord again. That's tragic. That's God is honoring. And our minds, therefore, don't have peace either. They end up sometimes in a frenzy as we stray from the Lord without peace. And yet, God comes to Israel in our chapter and he shows, maybe you have no peace right now, but I'm the God of peace nevertheless. I can give you true and perfect peace. And Israel was looking for such peace, and God says, I'm going to give you this peace in three ways. First of all, I give you a peaceful city. If you look at verse 1 of our text, you see that. We have a city. They're singing. We have a city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. That means there is a perfectly secure city that God promises to his people. No threats, no dangers, no war. And then secondly, it speaks in our chapter also in verse 2 about a peaceful nation. So people are coming into that city. It says that righteous nation will enter in. The gates will be opened to them. Righteous people, people without sin. They keep the truth. They love the truth. They live the truth. And they will enter into the city. That must be a glorious city then. There must be a city full of peace. And then the third part of this song says the third way of peace is this peace of mind we are talking about tonight. A tranquil mind. Nothing that ugly and sinful that disturbs our thoughts. Are you looking for that? That man we started with, he was looking for that. Looking at the wrong place. For God promises perfect peace to his people. He promises in this text both inward and outward peace. And he says, come to me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I give you rest. At various places, he warns that if we look for that peace in other places, we will have no peace. If you have never trusted in the Lord, you might be able to create something of what we can call peaceful way. We can try to lie to ourselves about this peace, but Asaph was looking at such people. They were looking in peace and prosperity, and he saw that the wicked were prospering, and he saw that they were having temporary peace, and he was almost jealous in his heart. But then he saw their end, destruction. And therefore, Isaiah, as we turn back to Isaiah, what does Isaiah say about that? About the peace of the wicked. He repeats this twice. There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. The wicked, he paints a picture about it. I said, it's as a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace for the wicked. If you are still outside of Christ, there is in your heart a desire to do your own thing. Your heart is casting up mire and dirt. Sin. Perhaps you try to quiet your conscience or find some outward peace, prosperity, thinking about waving palm trees or maybe finding it there a little bit. But those things cannot really give us peace, and we all know that. Maybe you have heard that so many times. No perfect peace. No shalom, shalom, as our text says. Now, what is this peace all about? It's God is promising here an inward peace, an outward peace, a peace with God, a peace of conscience, a peace at all times, a peace under all events. True peace. It starts in our hearts when we have this peace with God. So do you have this peace with God? No peace means no peace of mind, means no peace of conscience. No peace with God is no peace of mind and no peace of conscience. Might mean some kind of superficial outward, you know, or inward peace. But since the fall, our hearts are restless until we find rest in God. And this side, we have to deal with all those things that disturb our peace. Sin, death, tears, dangers, a guilty conscience. But God speaks also in chapter 25 how he is going to attack those things. He is going to bring salvation. He's going to bring peace through death. He's going to swallow up death in victory. And we know that's Jesus Christ who did that. He's going to dry all the tears of a broken world. He says there, he promises, the Lord will wipe away all tears off their faces. And how is he going to do that? Well, turn to Revelation. That's what he's going to do for all his people whom he saved. How did he save them? Same chapter. He takes away the rebuke of the people and take it off the earth, and he will save them. All that is sin and guilt in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, that disturbs our peace, God will take it away through his blood and make peace. And therefore the New Testament can say, therefore being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And ever we can say with Isaiah as well, maybe you say that too tonight, I'm waiting for this. I'm hungering and thirsting after this full peace, this shalom, shalom. One day, God's people will all be able to say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is our Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation, because this is the salvation that he gives in Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Guilty conscience taken away. Why? Remember Isaiah 53. A chastisement of our peace was upon him. That what is in our souls disturbing, he lays all the sins, he lays on him, suffering servant. And that brings peace. So before we leave this first thought, we need to ask this question to one another. Do we have this peace? Do you have this peace? Have you come to the church and say, Lord, speak peace to my soul? I need the Lord Jesus. Show me the Lord Jesus tonight. Show me that he bore away all my guilt, all my sin. so that I can taste something of that beautiful peace of God. Have you come like that tonight? May the Lord hear your cry, and may He give you peace tonight. The peace that comes when we focus our minds on eternal things, and when we trust them. Secondly, a focused mind. How can we experience this peace, you might wonder? Our text says it very simply, that would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What does that mean? Well, that means that our trust is firmly in the perfect and finished and free salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it rests there. Following sentence explains it, doesn't it? Because he trusteth in thee. That gives rock solid rest. That establishes us. When our minds find security in what Christ has done and finished, that is a mind made strong by the Lord. This word staying means really leaning upon, or laying hold of, or grasping for. So is my mind grasping for, laying hold of, leaning upon the salvation that is finished in Jesus Christ? Is it fixed? Is it riveted on God and who He is? That brings peace in our souls, rock solid confidence in God. You hold on to Him no matter what. Or do you need to confess tonight, my mind is so distracted. It's not a fixed mind, and I'm more like that man in James, unstable, driven by the wind and waves and tossed by this and that. That's not helpful. And you need to ask the Lord tonight to give you a mind that is steadfast, that trusts in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and finds rest where there is only rest in Him. And child of God, when was the last time that you could say, the Lord is with me, I find rest for my soul, uninterrupted rest? Was it this week that the Lord came to you and to your soul, maybe with an open Bible, maybe in prayer, and your mind was fixed and focused? How we need that to rest. A fixed mind, perfect peace. And yes, you know, we need to do our work, and we need to do everything in our lives. So there is this direct Godwardness, we can say, where we fix our minds. Maybe when you set some time apart in the morning or in the evening, what works best for you, or when you are driving, maybe to your work even, the direct Godwardness, when we read, when we pray, when we worship the Lord. But there's also this indirect worship and Godwardness that should be there, that whatever we do, it's as it were, God is just a few thoughts away in our work, in our study. Because we love Him, because we experience that we need Him moment by moment. So that this becomes true about us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If we are looking for true peace of mind, our minds need to be fixed. And we are called to trust in the Lord. Verse 4, beautiful verse that comes right at the heels of our text, says, to trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord, in the Lord Jehovah, is everlasting strength. You say, maybe I have no strength. Well, it's in the Lord. Look to Him. It's in Him. I can't control my mind. No, maybe you can't. It's in Him. In Him is everlasting strength. It's not so much a intellectual thing as knowing that you are secure and safe in the hands of the Lord. You know where your security is. It's in God. Just like children, when there is thunder and lightning, where do you go? You run where? Maybe to your parents' room and hide there. You know there's safety there. They will care for you. They will keep you safe. They will comfort you. They will pray for you. That's what it means. A mind stayed upon God. Finding true peace. That's running to the Lord, because in Him is everlasting strength. Have we learned that? To run to the Lord, especially when you and I feel unprotected, vulnerable, overwhelmed, small and insignificant. And we need to run into this salvation prepared by Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, open the gates for me, that I may be safe in that city prepared through Jesus Christ, city of peace. Well, there's actually different ways in which we can experience this peace. And I came across something very helpful from Brackel. Normally, I don't use that so much from others in that sense, but I want to share this with you. Because we can sometimes, and Brackel shows that very clearly, we can sometimes not really clearly see how this peace is experienced in our lives. We sometimes don't recognize what the Lord is doing in our lives. And our hearts can then think that when peace is experienced, it's only when we are overwhelmed by a sense of peace. But Brackel shows that there are different levels of peace, and I give them to you. First one, he says, there are people who are not certain about their salvation and don't experience that great and magnificent peace in their lives and in their hearts. And they can be more described like mourning and praying and yet secretly looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. While they don't have that full peace. And the secret is this. It's God who keeps them in this perfect peace. And God is at peace with them. Because in their heart there is something that God has done that has fixed their hearts on this salvation, and they're longing. And even when their ship, as it were, is tossed, they have this anchor of hope in God. Is that you tonight? You can say, I have that full peace you're speaking about, what the text is speaking about. But I can't even, I don't even know and recognize if God really has begun in my life. But your mind is fixed on Him, because you expect it from Him and no one else. And maybe you don't see it. And then he says there's another way in which this peace is experienced. It's just a quiet trust. It's still a soul that is questioning whether he or she belongs to the Lord. But what God has done is He has taken away the terror for Himself. We spoke about fear last time. That fear that can grip our hearts, as God is so holy, and you want to run away rather than run to God. God has taken that terror away. And there is quietness in the soul. and that quietness rests itself on the promises, and still you don't see it. It's possible. It's possible. Third group of believers experience the peace when they are consciously delighting. Do you see the gradations? Consciously delighted, being satisfied in the Lord. Such believers, as we will see in a moment also in the last thought, fix their minds on who God is, His faithfulness, His goodness, His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, His character. And so their hearts experience peace, peace of mind. Other times, a believer can be experiencing peace when you're assured by the fact that God has forgiven me. And you see it in the Word, and you know it in your heart, deep down in your soul, and God fills your soul with peace. My sins forgiven me. The Lord no longer against me. That's when we experience peace. Another time we can experience peace, Brackle tells us, when? In prayer. Do you know that? When you pray. When you are before the throne of grace and you pour out your heart, earnest, honest, nothing to hide. You are before the magnificent and holy God, and there's quietness in your soul. And there's confidence. The confidence comes so that you can say, Abba, Father. And your mind is fixed on God. Another way of experiencing this peace, I hope you recognize, I hope this resonates with your soul, that you say, yes, yes. Delightful joy. And the assurance of faith is really active, and you delight, and you know that you have been forgiven, and that Christ has given you His righteousness, and that He has clothed you with the garments of salvation, and you say, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one of peace, he says, that's that big and inexpressible, deep peace of God that fills our souls, as we can learn from Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Jesus, not only through prayer, but that God, as it were, comes and overwhelms you with this peace, peace. That you have, as it were, a foretaste of heaven and that your soul sees the beauty of Jesus Christ, and you rest upon Him and you express your praise toward Him and you express your love toward Him and your soul is at rest. Do you see these different kind of levels? Our text speaks about maybe the most secure level. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. But is there someone who says, no, I don't know that, but maybe that other peace. Because I need it. I know I need it. Not that perfect peace yet, that high peace, but I hope more and more, and it's a growing hope. Is that you tonight, maybe? One day, perfect peace. But let's listen to the Lord Jesus, what He says. Because who is He? He's a glorious, perfect Prince of Peace. What does He say to His disciples tonight? Even if you have a trembling soul, perhaps, and even if you have not full assurance of faith, He says this, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. It's not the military peace of this world, power of government. It's not the financial security that some are looking after. It's not those who love to hear from the false prophets, peace, peace, and just continue in your sin and your idolatry. No, no. It's the peace that comes in returning to God, turning around, and in resting on God, you will experience this peace. His forgiveness, His salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, and the Lord putting His finger on things in your life and say, my son, my daughter, this needs to change in your life because that robs you from peace. Is there something that the Lord has been putting His finger up on this week, perhaps in His word, and said, my son, my daughter, this needs to change? Because that's also the work. God wants us to enjoy that peace. And you have maybe responded, and ye would not. I don't want it. Now look to this peace. It's worth it. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for our peace. He wants us to enjoy that peace through the indwelling power of His Spirit so that we know the things that are freely given unto us. That God is no longer against us and that we are traveling to that city of peace where He once and for all will flood our hearts with a river full of peace, a glorious river of peace. And here we have cloudy skies, storms, waves, disturbances of our peace, often. But they can even exist while that peace with God is there. While you still bring all your requests with thanksgiving and prayer to the Lord, He can still give that peace in your mind and in your heart. Listen to this example. There was once a teacher who asked his students to paint a picture. And he said, topic, peace. And he was looking at what they were making and looking over their shoulders, and he saw someone was painting a storm and a little ship tossed, filled with terrified people. The teacher, is that peace? How is this picturing peace? He looked more closely. What did he see? He saw in the arms of one man a baby facing the father. And the man was fearful, but the baby, sound asleep, strong in the arms of his daddy, no trace of distress. That is peace. That's the peace we are talking about. And the more we are like that child, the more we look at the arms of the everlasting arms of strength of the Father, the more our hearts can be like that baby. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Two questions. Who is the thee? And what does he do so that trusting in him is possible? Let's begin with the last question. What does he do to make it possible to trust him? He keeps. He keeps. He takes hold of us. And therefore we can enjoy peace. And He takes hold of our minds. And therefore we put our minds on Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives faith, and therefore we act on our faith. Abide in me and I in you, so will you bear much fruit. You see that? In the life of sanctification, it goes together. God keeps. Therefore, we put our minds on what He has done. Believers are justified by faith and therefore have peace with God. And therefore, we enjoy that peace because He keeps us in that peace. And if we don't, if we are not experiencing that peace, maybe we have been running away from Him with something. And we should be tender in our hearts. Is this helping my peace with God? My relationship with God? If not, then I shouldn't be doing it. If not, if this peace is disappearing, then I shouldn't be doing it. I should be staying in the enjoyment of the peace of God. That's the first thing. He keeps us in that peace, and therefore we desire to keep ourselves also in that peace. And then secondly, let us focus now our minds on God. Because that's what our text calls us to do, basically. Our minds need to be stayed on God. Who is this God? That's what we are going to ask ourselves. Maybe what robs us of peace is often that question, is He mighty enough? Is He trustworthy enough? Can we really come to Him for peace? Does He really want to give me the enjoyment of this peace? That robs us of this peace. Those doubting questions. Maybe you look at yourself again. You fix your mind on yourself and your inner heart, and you say, I'm such a sinner. And He is so holy. Isn't Isaiah telling us that He is holy, holy, holy? And that He's so high and lofty, and He sits on the throne of heaven, that even the angels, they cover their faces. And that even Isaiah the prophet, he realized his wretchedness before God. Yes, that's the God we are talking about. We are to focus on Him. When Isaiah cried out, woe is me, and how often do we have to cry out? When we look in, what a comfort. That this God is high and holy, and yet is with those who are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And what did the Lord do with such? What does He do with you when you come with a broken heart and say, Lord, I don't have this peace. Woe is me. He comes with a call that stands for peace. Look, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Peace. Yes, He is the glorious one who inhabits eternity. He's high and holy, as Isaiah shows us. But that is His glory. And that is our safety. If He inhabits eternity and rules the whole earth, and is King of kings and Lord of lords, isn't He able to then give us this perfect peace and keep us in this perfect peace and focus our mind on Himself? If it wouldn't be the case, perfect peace wouldn't be possible. This is a mighty God. If he wouldn't be ruling everything in this earth, everything would be coming crashing down, and all of us would be stopping to exist. But no, this is a mighty God. Isaiah says in 33:22, "The Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our king." Now, do we need to be afraid? No, he says this, "He will save us." Fix your mind on him, because that's who he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Judge, lawgiver, king, who rules, who is mighty to save. He's incomparable with anything else. Isaiah 40, "To whom then will you liken God?" Or what likeness will you compare unto him? He's incomparable. There's none like him. And who is he in that same chapter? Incomparable. Creating the mighty stars, yes. Holding them in their hand, in his hand, and naming them. And yet, he's like gentle shepherd, gathering his lambs with his arms, carrying them in his bosom. Peace for such sheep. Lambs who are in his arms, and gently leads those who are with young. Peace. Where? The waters of peace. Tranquil waters, because the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me in green pastures. Peace. He restores my soul. Peace. He brings me to that home, eternal home. Peace. He prepares a table even in the face of enemies. Yes, but my cup overflows. Peace. Will he be able to keep me? To keep an eye on me, maybe you wonder, because you wander. You're a wandering sheep. You say, I can't focus my mind. My mind is so fickle. Well, who is he? Who is he? He's the creator of this world. He created the ends of the earth. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He is so great and so mighty and so glorious. He who created our minds, is he not able to keep our minds in that perfect peace? And he's the one who calls his people to himself and says, "Come, come. I've created you, O Jacob, and I've formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Come. I give you peace. Peace of mind." But someone is here going maybe through deep waters. Deep waters. God is calling you through deep waters. Can I have peace? Yes. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You can have peace even then. He's our holy king. He's our mighty shepherd. He's our creator. He is the savior who forms his people, who calls them to himself. He redeems them. He's that great and mighty potter who and we are the clay. How come that we so often don't trust him or are so fearful? Isn't it what we are doing often? Saying this to the potter, "Why did you make me like this? I shouldn't. He knows what is best." That's dishonoring. Will he really love me? Maybe that's what you're wondering. Who is he? Ask the question. Rivet your mind on him. For thy maker is thy husband, The Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. He is like a good husband to his people. You can have peace. He protects you. Yes, in Isaiah's day, because of unbelief and idolatry, a little moment they were forsaken, a little wrath. But then, with everlasting kindness, will I have mercy on you. Brings peace to our soul when we know he loves me. And he gives his bride a new name. They were called forsaken. They were called desolate. What does he give? Another name, Hephzibah and Beulah. God delights in you. God is married to you. Let's focus our minds on him who loves his people. And in Christ has made peace. That will give peace of mind. Could you say, well, we started, didn't we, with peace, outward peace even. How is that possible? Isaiah is painting a far bigger picture than we often think. We often get to our mind and to our little world. Isaiah is speaking about future peace, a new Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Shalom, city of peace. Every tongue, every type, every nation will come into this city. And Isaiah 66 verse 12 says, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. So God will fill this city with from all over the world, and he will fill that city with peace, the new Jerusalem. And he will open the gates for those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And to proud sinners, he will say, no peace for you, because you have been looking for peace apart from me. I'll give you eternal turmoil in hell. Come for this peace. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Lord Jesus Christ. Because far greater is what he is saying and what he is going to do. This new creation full of peace. Listen for a moment. In one of the chapters, Isaiah says that the sword shall be beaten in plowshares. In other words, murderous weapons, weapons to work peacefully. But then this, Isaiah 11 verse 6 and following. The wolf is going to be very peaceful there in that city, in that new creation. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, that's with the young goat. Cozy together, peaceful. The calf and the young lion and the fatling, that's the fatted calf. So the young lion next to the fatted calf. And a little child is going to lead them. Come, lion, come. Cow and the bear, no destruction. Young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And a sucking child, a baby, shall play on the hole of an asp, a cobra. Let's play, cobra. Let's play. A weaned child shall put his hand safely in the hole of a cockatrice den. That's a viper, an adder. No biting, no poison. Peace. What a glorious, glorious new creation. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. What a plan. Peace like a river. Paradise restored. Glorious peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. There, in that paradise, in that new Jerusalem, our peace will be full. Perfect peace. I leave you with this question. Children, will you be one of those children who are leading those animals of prey? Will you be one of them? Playing around because you've heard the voice of Christ. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Young people, will you be there? In that holy mountain where God is king, because you have learned to surrender your life and your sins and hide nothing. And God said to you, peace. Will you be there? Parents, we are often fretful about our children. What is going to happen with our children? There you can get. If your children get to that place, you don't need to fret anymore. What a place. But will you be there? Because you know God is my heavenly Father. He loves me. And I can lay down in His arms and find peace. For Jesus' sake. Seniors, what about you? Will you be there? Because you've heard death is swallowed up in victory. You're facing death, but you've found your refuge in Jesus Christ. And God said, I've swallowed it up for you. I will bring you to the new Jerusalem. Will you be there to give glory to the King of Peace? Who quiets unruly hearts and says, peace be still, because I love you. I've given my Son. Look to Him. Focus your mind on Him. Amen.